Coming up this week on Expedition Retirement, brought to you by Golden Reserve. Once again, we're talking about another topic that nobody wants to talk about. Another way, perhaps, that you could use your Roth in retirement. And when you pass away and money comes down to your kids and money goes down to your grandkids, just exactly how long does that money last? We've got some stats for you. All that coming up today on Expedition Retirement.
This is Expedition Retirement with Greg Ehler from Golden Reserve.
We think of retirement as a mountain, right? You work your way up the mountain, you save, you work hard, and you have a certain advice that gets you to the top. But when you get to the top, everything changes.
Climbing that mountain to retirement is only the first step. Do you have what you need to get down retirement mountain?
And hello again. Welcome to Expedition Retirement with Greg Ehler at Golden Reserve. My name is Randy Cook. We're here each week to talk about some of the things that you might be wondering about when it comes to your retirement. How is that 401k going to power your entire 20, 30 years of unemployment? How are you going to deal with taxes? And we talk about all that stuff every single day. We're talking about another topic that you should be thinking about as well today. Greg, how are you doing? And we do have a guest in the studio today.
I know. Mr. Tim Stallings is here. Thanks for joining us, Tim.
Thanks for having me.
I have known this character for 23 years, 22 years. Tim and I went to law school together. He's on the show about once a month. We obviously went and practiced law. We opened Ehler Stallings Law Firm together. And now Tim obviously works both with Ehler Stallings and Golden Reserve. But, you know, it was an interesting weekend. You know, just real quick, Randy, the girls, Lily and Faye, were out to a soccer tournament out of town all weekend. So Dad was watching the twinos, who are three, Lola and Louie. And we were doing my favorite thing in the world, which is up in the movie room watching Marvel movies. They wanted to watch all the Spider-Man. So we were working our way through Spider-Man's. Everything was going so well Friday. And then I put them down, and all of a sudden I hear Louie crying. And I go up there, and it is like The Exorcist meets Freddy Krueger. There is chunks of chicken nuggets and macaroni on the walls over Louie. I'm thinking to myself, he only pukes when my wife is out of town. And of course, I'm ill-equipped for this. I can handle the number two, the you know, the poopy stuff, but the puke stuff, I'm gagging with Louie. I think it's freaking him out more than he's actually freaked out from puking. We get the bed changed, everything. And Lola's in the other bed just kind of staring and managing us like, Daddy, you know, go get this pillow here. So we get them all wiped down and he's like, I feel better. I mean, he's three. So we get him in bed, and I don't turn. I mean, I'm talking stuffed animals, new blankets, the whole nine. I turn around, and I hear him cough, which I know is code for kid puke. So I sprint towards him, and he just sprays me down again.
No.
So I am sitting there thinking to myself, this is such a dad moment. So we're both leaning over the toilet together. He's looking at me, I'm looking at him, we're both gagging. Which was obviously, you know, he got, I think it was just a 24-hour thing or something, but it was an interesting time. But I got to see Tim this weekend too, by the way. Pivoting hard right, Tim came over for dinner.
So let's talk about food.
Let's talk about some food. I was ready to go. So after I got the kids down, you know, we turned around and Tim showed up and some of my other buddies showed up. You know, we had a little guy night, you know, steaks and lobster and some other fun stuff. And, you know, Tim's sitting there on the corner of the table drinking some good wine. And he's like, what is this? And he's dipping the lobster bites in one of my sauces. He goes, this is honey mustard? And I'm like, dude, this is not McDonald's. That's a beurre blanc sauce. It took me like an hour and a half to make. I thought he was dipping some honey mustard in the lobster. Fact.
Tim, what do you say?
It was delicious. I, in my defense, I believe I did ask before I dipped, but I could have dipped first. Who knows?
So, Tim, you've known Greg for over 20 years. Is Greg the kind of guy that will take a kid that's kind of messed up and put him in the sink and then strip him down and put the sprayer on him and just kind of shower him down a little bit?
Yeah, I could imagine
see
him
that.
Holding Louie by his feet.
I can see that.
Poor
kid. Who says the state attorneys don't know how to have fun, okay? Come on.
That's right.
That's
right.
Exactly
we're the fun.
Right.
You know, we used to describe ourselves as the, because everybody's like, oh, you're attorneys. Ugh. And we'd be like, no. We're the fun attorneys.
The fun attorneys.
We're the attorneys that help people. We don't sue people. We help people. And they'd be like, well, what do you do? And we'd dive right in.
All right. Well, that's what we're going to do today. We're going to dive right in and talk a little bit, because this is how Golden Reserve actually started with these two guys. And they they helped people with their estate planning, and they realized, you know what? Everybody's asking about investments. Let's go there. Everybody's asking about taxes. Let's go there. And that's where we have Golden Reserve today. So we're going to talk about this. And, you know, when it comes to estate planning, there are a few things that you should not talk about around the dinner table at a holiday gathering: sex, politics, money, death, and long-term care. But these two guys with me talk about three of them all the time. So we'll leave the sex and the politics out of this. But the whole idea of talking about estate planning when it comes to your retirement planning is really vital. This is Robert Brokamp, and he's the senior advisor to Motley Fool. And he says, this is a difficult conversation, but folks, you just have to have it.
If you don't have an estate plan, please just get it done. It's among the most neglected aspects of financial planning. I can't tell you how many times I talked to someone and they said, yeah, I need to take care of that. I just haven't gotten around to it. And many of these people are among the most successful folks that I know. There's just something about estate planning that people want to avoid. And I get it. I've put off updating of our current plan longer than I should have, but you just got to get it done.
All right, Tim, let's start with you. I mean, we talk about protecting your money all the time. Everybody thinks that has to do protect it against a market decline, protect me against Uncle Sam with taxes. But what you guys do also is a major aspect of protecting your money, isn't it?
Absolutely. Protecting from long-term care is one of the biggest risks that most folks face. And for years, people looked at insurance options or just frankly were left to self-insure. Mm-hmm. But, you know, really focusing on the legal strategies that are available is a great starting point for a lot of our clients.
Well, what does that mean? I mean, when we talk about putting the right legal documents in place, I mean, I know about powers of attorney, I know about wills, I know about trust, but there's more to talk about than just that, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the basics are non-negotiable. Anybody who's over 18 should have those powers of attorney. So if they get sick, their spouse or loved ones can help make decisions for them. But if that's all folks are doing and they're approaching retirement and retirement, they're simply missing a lot of opportunities to protect assets for their spouse or their families.
One of the things about long-term care, Greg, is we talk about you want to pass money down to your kids, but you're going to find that you've got, you know, Uncle Sam is also in the will there. But we don't want a nursing home to be another one of the entities that get all our money. But in some cases, that is the case, isn't it?
Right. I mean, think of the psychology when you, if anybody's listening and you remember when you were at work, right? When you were at work, you thought about, you know, what do I hate doing most each day, right? You know, what's the thing I love? I hate my TPS reports. I hate having meetings with such and such. I hate, you know, having to, you know, go outside and do this if you worked with your hands. Like, there were things you didn't like to do and you put them off, right? Like, it was one of those things that everyone knew that, like, I got to do this, but I hate doing it. And, you know, obviously that is something that correlates to our psychology. We put off things that we don't want to do and we do the things that we like to do. Mm-hmm. Like, if there's things that you like to do at work, like for Randy, it's work with Greg. So if it was up to Randy, we'd be having radio shows every
Non-stop.
Hour of every day.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
But when it comes to planning, everybody loves the ice cream, right? They love talking about their money. They love talking about investments. They love making money. Of course, that's the fun stuff. That's the chocolate and the caramel and the sprinkles, you know, all whipped cream, all the fun stuff. But when it comes to the, you know, practical parts of what has to happen when you age, you have to do the legal stuff. Like, these are the things that are, like, all the money in the world is not going to matter if you don't have your healthcare power of attorney making decisions for you if you can't. And a lot of times it's like, oh, it's my spouse. But what if your spouses can't do it? Who's the backup? What about your finance? Who's got access? Who's going to pay the bills for your thing? You know, think of estate planning in two buckets: the documents I need to affect my life while I'm alive and the bucket of documents I need to affect my life when I'm gone. And they're both equally important. And usually the documents you had when you know, most people, 90% of Midwesterners, Michigan, Ohio, Indiana, Pennsylvania, Kentucky, all of them have, you know, the thing that they did was when you have a kid, you got a will, right, Randy? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's just like the rule of thumb. Yep. I need someone who's going to take care of my kids if my wife and I pass away in a car accident. Mm-hmm. So that's what gets done. And then it doesn't get touched. Fast forward to retirement. And people are like, you know what? Do we need to do something? And I think that's where the estate planning piece is so important. It's not just about protecting against long-term care, which Tim's going to talk more about in a second, but it's about ensuring that all of the life's work you've done is taken care of in a way that aligns with what you want. If you're like, I don't want such and such, you know, making my healthcare decisions, well, then name someone else. Mm-hmm. Like outlining it. And it also creates a huge burden to your children if these aren't outlined and communicated to them. So, you know, the kids may not love the decisions, but they'll respect the decisions if you tell them, hey, Joe's going to do healthcare, Tim's going to do finances, and, you know, Billy Bob's going to do, you know, the executor stuff when we're gone. Mm-hmm. And some parents want to even it out. Other people are real strategic. No, no, my oldest is going to do all of them. Or no, one of my kids is an accountant, they're going to do all of them. And I think that's a really smart way to go about it. And then communicate to your kids, like, just so you guys know, such and such is going to take care of these if we can't. And that's like the one of the best gifts you can give your children because they're super bereaved. You know, the second's probably planning for your funeral, but I don't want to get too depressing on a weekend here. But like taking care of that stuff makes the hardest days of your children's life or your spouse's life a little bit easier.
Tim, when you think about what should be in these documents, I read something just this past weekend that talked about 18 things that should be, you know, outlined in a will and had this big long list. And there's things that are happening today that probably weren't happening 20 or 30 years ago. I mean, social media stuff and passwords. And if you have a copyright, if you have, you know, rights to something, all of this has got to be spelled out so that you know where this is all going and it's easier for your kids.
Absolutely. And if you don't believe it, I could tell stories all day because unfortunately, a lot of folks find out that their spouse or their parents' documents are non-existent or insufficient in a worst case scenario. And they come to the office and, hey, we're in a jam and we got to figure out what we're going to do quickly. And the first thing we do is review the powers of attorney to see if we actually can do the things we need to, which is why it's a proactive process at Golden Reserve saying, you know what, whether you've done some planning or you haven't done any planning, one of the first things we're going to do is have you sit down with one of the attorneys to review what you have and tell you what you don't know. And oftentimes it's cleaning up those powers of attorney that are 20 years old. And as you just said, Randy, they just haven't kept up with this universe we're living in and all these new, you know, things that we need to plan for.
Well, Randy, to piggyback off that too, what Tim's referring to is a lot of times when people go into a nursing home, obviously they're shocked when they get that first bill. They think Medicare is going to pay, and they're like, oh my gosh, I just got an $8,000 bill. What is this all about? You know, a surviving spouse is like, do I have to pay this? When's Medicare kicking? It doesn't. Mm-hmm. Medicare covers about 100 days, but no one gets a full 100 days, and then you have to private pay until you basically run out of money. Or if you're a spouse, you can keep like, Tim, 120 grand or something?
Not a lot.
Yeah, not a lot. So at that point, what we can do when someone goes into the nursing home or before that, we can make strategic transfers and gifts if they have the right powers of attorney. If we don't have the rights to make those transfers and gifts to save more of, you know, money for a surviving spouse mom, then we're screwed. And we're stuck in this spend down where you basically lose all your money because $10,000 a month goes pretty quick, you know, Randy. And that is why the long-term care compass is a part of every roadmap we build. Our long-term care compass addresses the biggest risk in retirement. Randy, we ensure that when we're going through that process, our attorneys are showing them the legal options, not just the financial options, to plan for long-term care. Even though it's a hard topic, we don't plan for our house to burn down, but we still need a plan. A lot of people have never heard of asset protection trusts and things like that, and that's something I'd like to dig in a little bit more on later. But those are all included with every roadmap. All I got to do is obviously swing by.
Give us a call or give us a look on our website, which is getyourroadmap.com. Getyourroadmap.com. I always talk about the dominoes because you may come in for a reason and say, I want to talk about protecting my money. I want to talk about that stock market. Well, that usually ends up with a conversation that says, okay, what are we going to do about taxes? And then that starts the conversation about what are we going to do about your money if you're not here or where do you want it to go? How do you want this? I think everybody, Tim, everybody has got one of those stories of as soon as somebody passes away, one of the kids is at the house going through the closets and going through the jewelry boxes and doing all that stuff. If you have a will and they know where everything goes, you avoid that kind of stuff, don't you?
Yeah, that's the idea. The idea is to document what you want to happen so you're not relying on your kids to guess or the government to tell them what happens with default rules. So that's the first step is being proactive and making sure you're sitting down with an attorney and getting that documented.
I know people show up all the time, Tim. You know, you and I created this, we call it our Heritage Trust, but it's an asset protection trust. And to me, that was the game-changing tool that launched Ehlers Stallings, in a lot of ways launched Golden Reserve, into the, you know, Midwest and across, you know, 20, 30 offices, was this asset protection trust that no one had ever heard of. Some people had wills, some people had revocable or family trust, but no one had asset protection trust. I guess, you know, why don't you share or walk us through kind of how that came to fruition and kind of how it works?
Well, Greg said we'd known each other for a while. I think when we got started back in 2010, we anticipated that the problems on the estate planning side would be more related to what happens when I die. Mm-hmm. And as more and more baby boomers came through, we started seeing what was happening when they didn't have a plan to deal with long-term care. I had never dealt with it personally. And, you know, for the ultra high net worth folks, it's not really as big of an issue. But for 95% of the population, they can't write those checks for $8,000 like Greg talked about. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you've dealt with the emergencies, then you realize, wow, what can we do to be proactive? And that's where the Heritage Trust comes into play. You know, when we meet with a family and they're in their 60s, hopefully the nursing home is more than 5 years out. And there's a 5-year look back for Medicaid that we have to be cognizant of, because that we can plan proactively for and help them protect money, you know, through our roadmap for retirement.
Well, you've heard of all these documents, wills and trusts and estate protection trusts and powers of attorney and medical directives and all these things. And you've probably heard of them, but you don't know, do I need one? What's involved in it? And as you go through some of these documents, they become very, very important and part of every good retirement plan. We do that for you at Golden Reserve. If you're not going to Golden Reserve, you're going to probably have to go out someplace and find an estate planning attorney and find a tax person and find a financial person. You got to run around doing all this. Well, not at Golden Reserve. We have them all for you under one roof. Give us a look on our website, getyourroadmap.com. That's getyourroadmap.com. Or give us a call at 855-546-2074. We will build that roadmap for retirement. It includes all of these documents as we're talking about today. What do you need? What can we produce for you? Again, getyourroadmap.com. We'll take a quick break. Come right back with more of Expedition Retirement.
Nobody wants to think about it. Nobody wants to talk about it either. Long-term care, assisted living, home care, the nursing home. But with annual costs now regularly exceeding $100,000 and stays exceeding 3 years, this could be the largest risk to your life savings. Planning for long-term care is like buying homeowners insurance. You don't plan on your house burning down, but we want to be ready if it does. We know retirees don't want to buy more insurance. So at Golden Reserve, we use our long-term care Compass retirement tool that points to our team of elder care law attorneys. These attorneys leverage new legal tools like asset protection trusts to help protect the things that matter most to you and your family. To learn more about our long-term care Compass asset protection trusts and other retirement tools and how we can protect and guide you down retirement mountain, go to getyourroadmap.com. That's getyourroadmap.com.
Welcome back to Expedition Retirement with Greg Ayler at Golden Reserve. Our special in-studio guest today is Tim Stallings. And these two guys put together Golden Reserve. This is the very beginnings of it all, two estate planning attorneys. And we want to talk about that today because it's an important part of retirement planning. And as you bring your assets in and say, I've saved in my 401k and I've saved in my IRA and I've saved in my Roth, and how is this all going to work? I want to bring to your attention how you use that money and one of the things with estate planning that you can. Tim Stephan is a CPA with Bard, and he says, think about using your Roth IRA as an estate planning tool.
So it can be a really good estate planning tool. You effectively say, this is my IRA, I'm going to convert it to a Roth. I'll pay the taxes now on behalf of my heirs, my kids, whoever they may be. They'll never have to pay tax on it. Heirs do have required distributions. They have to take money out of it within a certain time period. And there's some new rules regarding that. But in general, the retiree, the owner, and the spouse never have to touch it if they don't want to.
So, Greg, we talk about the different buckets of money that you get into in your retirement years, that tax-free or tax-deferred bucket. You've already paid the taxes on it now. This is a good thing to use last in your retirement. And that also lends toward tax planning and estate planning, doesn't it?
It does. You know, I want to say in 2005, the government allowed for Roth 401ks. Maybe it was 2006, which became a kind of a game changer, right? Like people would say, well, why would you want to pay, you know, that you don't get to defer the taxes? Yeah, but my money grows for tax-free forever. Mm-hmm. And I think that was always a great option for people that are working or still in the process. And I think people like the idea of knowing this money goes tax-free to my spouse or to my kids. And Roths have always been a great tool for that type of growth. You know, the challenge always begins with, you know, well, you know, it has to grow for it to work. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you have a couple rough market years or you start off rough, then, you know, it doesn't really matter. So those are things that it's not all tax planning. You kind of have to put them together. And you heard him reference at the end that you still have to take them out. So it used to be Roth and, you know, and 401ks, they could stretch over the course of the kid's life. That was called the stretch IRA or stretch, you know, all these things. Now they have to detax all these things. Or if it's a Roth, you have to take them all out over the course of 10 years after the surviving spouse. The kid beneficiary inherits the money. They have to take it out over 10 years, which kind of changes everything for regular 401ks and IRAs. But for Roth, I mean, it's still a good deal. I mean, we always encourage people to, like you said, use that. And that should be the last money you spend, which we'll talk a little bit more in the next segment.
So, Tim, when we talk about different money that you use in your retirement or for your estate planning, it's not only a situation where we're trying to protect your money, but we're also trying to say we want to make use of the best money to go into the nursing home and have those particular funds for that. So using a Roth, using that money at the end of your life, that seems like a pretty good idea.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess in my experience, it seems like people know Roths are good, right? That mm-hmm. that makes sense, mm-hmm. but they don't understand why it makes sense. So the great thing about the tax map is it shows folks that there are real savings in getting money detaxed. And of course, if they're not looking to immediately spend it, then Roth is a great place to put it and let it grow. But it starts with getting it detaxed. And that's something that, you know, we take a lot of pride in and we focus on because we can actually control how we plan for taxes.
So, Greg, you've used the term in the past, don't be bad Santa. That is giving your kids a bunch of money, but having a tax bill associated with it. And I think that's what he's talking about here.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and some people are like, I don't care if my kids get anything, right? Like, that's easy. I don't care. We're going to spend it all. But they never do. Right. So it's like, come on, let's live in the really real world. And, you know, we break down, Tim alluded to it, and I think it's a great point, which is essentially the way 401ks and IRAs work, and we've talked about this at length, but it's one of the biggest misses in retirement. And when I really break it down and think through all those issues, you basically don't touch this thing for 40 years, you know, or 30 years, whatever the case may be. And then they tell you don't, you know, you get to retirement, you know, at 59 and a half and you can touch it, but then they still tell you, well, then you have to pay tax on it. And you're like, what? I just waited 30 years. I kind of like to buy some stuff. And they're like, no, you gotta pay tax. Wait till 73 now. You're like, another 13 years? And what they don't tell you, and this person that's probably telling you this is probably your financial advisor. Shame on him or her. And as it grows, the tax liability gets bigger and bigger. And what the financial advisor selfishly is not informing you is that that tax liability is getting bigger. And not only that, when one of the spouses pass, you run into the widow's penalty, which is essentially you paying double the tax rates because you're now going from a couple to a single filing tax rate. And then when that surviving spouse passes, it goes to your children who are at their highest earning years. Now, it doesn't get taxed at your tax rates. It gets taxed at their tax rates. We call that the kiddo's penalty. We're talking about 40%. You know, up to 40% or more, not even counting state taxes, could end up going to Uncle Sam. So if you have $500,000 IRA, that's $200,000. $200,000. And this, to me, is the biggest injustice where your financial advisor is not doing their job if they're not talking about IRA tax planning, if they don't have a plan. And people are like, well, what do you mean? The tax map that Tim talked about, Randy, breaks down when and how much to take out of your IRA every year. Now, you can just take it out, pay tax on it, put it in an account, or you can convert it to a Roth, to what we just talked about. Either way. But it does the same thing. You're paying tax on your terms, utilizing your lower tax rates, ensuring that you're getting taxed at 10 or, you know, 12% or maybe 15% if you have a big IRA. And you're not waiting when the widow's penalty comes and then paying 20 or 25% or your kiddo's penalty and paying 30 or 35%. We're talking not about tens, but hundreds of thousands of dollars savings just by having a tax map. And it's complimentary for every roadmap we build. Our team of CPAs in-house build it for our clients.
When we talk about taking money out of your account so you can live on and have fun with in retirement, we always have to put it through that filter of what does this do for us in taxes? What does it do to us in taxes? And that certainly has something to do with estate planning as well. Give us a look on our website, getyourroadmap.com. Getyourroadmap.com or give us a call at 855-546-2074.
Greg Ehler and Tim Stallings here today, and we're talking through some estate planning issues. And when it comes to, all of us know somebody who's rich. They've got a lot of money, and I don't know, maybe they built a business, maybe they won the lottery, maybe they just had a family that had a lot of money over the years. But it is interesting when you start to look at the stats on that. If somebody has a lot of money, a family has a lot of money, and they want to pass that down to their kids, 70% of the time that money is gone in the lifetime of those kids. 90% of the time, it's gone in the lifetime of the grandchildren. So generational wealth is hard to continue on. Tim, why is that? And is what you do with estate planning, I mean, how far can you reach into the future to try to prevent some of that from happening?
Is it because kids don't get spanked anymore? Is that the answer, Tim?
It certainly doesn't help. I think learning discipline as a young person is important. You know, I guess when I was a kid, I thought that people that got wealthy and they transferred wealth over multiple generations, it was because they had some really novel idea. They invented the question mark or something. But I think what I found over the years is really it's about defense as much as it is about offense, right? Of course, we want to get some growth every year and let that compound and create this retirement account that allows us to enjoy retirement. But a lot of people don't think ahead. And I'll give Greg the credit for this because this was his idea. Greg came up with an acronym about, I don't know, 12 years ago or so when we were starting Ehler Stallings. And he was talking about protecting things across multiple generations. And the acronym he used was ABCD. There was an E at the time for estate tax, but we'll drop that for today's discussion. And we use it regularly when we talk to folks about planning for the next generation. And the A, it stands for your assets. The B stands for beneficiaries. And what we say is you need to plan to protect your assets and your beneficiaries from creditors and divorce. Those are two huge things that we want to make sure that we've thought about. Now, for today's topic, taxes is also something that comes into play because kids just have a different appreciation, in my experience, for money they inherited versus money that they created with their own labor. And it feels like a windfall or winning the lottery. And oftentimes it's a, here you go, I worked with your parents, here's the $1 million and it's pre-tax. And as Greg mentioned, that can mean Uncle Sam gets 40%. And that's because you didn't have a plan. You had Uncle Sam's plan. And if you haven't had that conversation, you know, with your advisor about how to pay taxes, all the more reason why 70% of people blow the money, because first Uncle Sam takes his chunk off the top. IRAs were not designed for intergenerational wealth. They were designed for retirement to create a pension for yourself. And if you're using it for that purpose now, the government doesn't want you to do it. They've already changed the rules from, you know, the kids could stretch it to now 10 years and, you know, we wouldn't be surprised to see them move it to 5 years or just say, you know what, if you inherit traditional IRA money, you got to pay Uncle Sam.
That would be catastrophic, right? If people had to start paying their IRA taxes in 1 year, think about the, and by the way, ironically, Randy, a lot of kids do this anyways. Why? Because they want to spend the money. You know, the wife and the husband get together and they're like, hey, we just got $1 million IRA for mom and dad. We look at this condo down in Florida that we really liked. It's $750,000. But they told us if we take the money out of the IRA, we got to pay $300,000 in taxes. And they're both like, oh, well, not our money anyways.
Right.
And they cash it in and they go with it. And I think, you know, I know families and moms and dads are like, not my problem. I'm gone. I'll be dead. I don't care. But I don't believe they really mean that. They've worked so hard. I think that's kind of a knee-jerk common reaction. I think most people are like, would you rather? I always say, all right, let me ask this a different way. Would you rather the money go to Uncle Sam or your grandkids? And I think that usually says, oh, yeah, I definitely rather go to my grandkids. I was like, well, if you want that to happen, then we need to ensure that we have some form of structure. And Tim, maybe let's break down some intergenerational distributions. I think that's kind of interesting that we use. And we're talking about people like, I'm not the Rockefellers. No, no, we're talking about people with $500 million, $1.5 million. We're not talking about people that have $30 million. But like if you have someone that has $1 million and they have some concerns about their in-laws, most people, believe it or not, don't. When you're an attorney, you hear everything. They tell you everything when you're in the moon. And they, a lot of times they don't care for their in-laws, their son-in-law or their daughter-in-law. What do we do in those circumstances to hopefully preserve as much wealth as we can from generation to generation, including some obviously some grandkids?
Well, certainly we're going to talk about more than just a simple will. A will is like naming someone as a beneficiary of your life insurance. If they're 18 years old, they get it. I don't know about you guys. Well, I know about Greg, not you, Randy, but, you know, giving a 18-year-old a lump sum of money is probably not setting that kid up for success. Mm-hmm. And that's where using legal strategies, you know, one of the things that we'll do is we'll set it up so if mom and dad pass away and the beneficiary, often the adult children, haven't reached certain milestones in life, then we'll make sure the money's held for them, right? So, you know, a common way we might do it is over stages 25, 30, 35, and kind of give them the principal so that they can learn how to use money. You know, I think if you're a knucklehead at 35, you might be a knucklehead the rest of your life.
Yeah.
But, you know, certainly I don't want to be judged by, you know, how we handle money at 19 years old, right? So that's one way we do it. The second way we do it is you can actually transfer stuff in trust. And for even for some middle class folks, it can be an important decision because, you know, setting that up could save you or keep the money in your family, save, you know, tenfold of what you're spending for the actual cost of, you know, setting up those types of legal instruments.
It protects from divorce. You know, a lot of times we do that so that the child's, you know, new spouse can't have access to it. And they still have access to spend it, but it's in a sheltered vehicle that divorce protection. And that's a huge deal for a lot of people, given divorce rates are north of 50%, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I think about, I think you hit it on the head, Greg, when you said, when we think about generational wealth, we think of Rockefellers and Vanderbilts, and we think of Kennedys and all that kind of thing. But if you have a family farm, that is your generational wealth that you want to pass down. If you have a pizza restaurant and that is what you want to pass down, this is your generational wealth. And it's just as important for you as it is the Rockefellers for you to have these documents in place, isn't it, Greg?
It is. And to wrap it, I mean, put a bow on this, Randy, a lot of times when we think through how do we put all these pieces together, that's the magic of our system, right? People ask how we've grown so fast, how we've, you know, now we're in, you know, soon to be, you know, four states, and we keep going. And it's because we realized working and trying to coordinate basically a CPA firm, a law firm, and a financial guy, good luck, right? You might as well get the, you know, the Republicans and the Democrats to vote on the same things. Because they just don't see the world the same. Everybody's got their own philosophy. Some one guy's hard to get a hold of, is on vacation 20 months a year, and it just never happens. And then the right hand doesn't talk to the left, or they change something. So we said, this is ridiculous. Let's do it all in-house. And all these documents, Randy, that we're talking about today, if you become a client, obviously, of Golden Reserve, we do them for free. Mm-hmm. You know, it's included in your annual package. Whether or not you use them or not is up to you, but we do these and we update these, obviously, as part of our plan because they're that important. People ask, why do you do this? It's because it's that important. It doesn't matter how much, you know, your accounts grow if they all end up going to a nursing home or if they all end up going to taxes. Like that's, it's kind of silly to not think about these huge risks. And that's what we do in every roadmap. Obviously, you can sit down with our CPAs, you sit down with our attorneys. These are parts of our plan, the tax map, the long-term care compass that can't be overlooked. Whether or not you use us or not, you know, it's up to you. But our common area roadmap will show you if there's gaps in these areas that you should be thinking about.
And we're going to put one together for everybody who gives us a call. We call it our Roadmap for Retirement. Give us a look on our website, getyourroadmap.com. You can also give us a call at 855-546-2074. Again, 855-546-2074. And as you hear the guys talking, if you want to check out our YouTube channel, now you know what Greg looks like. Now you know what Tim looks like as well. So there it is. I heard Tim off mic.
I'm glad I dressed up today.
Yeah, well, he said, I didn't know I was going to be on video. That would have been good to get a heads up on that. You look just fine, Tim. You look just fine. All right, guys, thanks so much. We're going to take a break. Come right back with more Expedition Retirement. Why would someone write a book called Fire Your Financial Advisor? Greg Ayler, the president of Golden Reserve, believes there's something seriously wrong with the financial industry. It's an industry that gets paid on how much you've saved. So when you spend your money, they take a pay cut. You see the conflict? They have a vested interest in keeping your money in the stock market and at risk. Greg believes there's a better way. When you call to talk about your retirement, you'll get a free copy. Or go to fireyourfinancialadvisor.com. Coming up on the second half of Expedition Retirement, a new financial rule from Warren Buffett that we're going to investigate. Four telltale signs you're being too cheap in your retirement, and where should you pull the funds first in your retirement years. All that coming up on the second half of Expedition Retirement. All right, Warren Buffett is a fountain of information, and he's got some great rules that we always quote. And I found one that I hadn't heard about, and it's the Warren Buffett 525 rule. So Warren says what you do in your life with your financial goals is write down 25 different things that you want to get accomplished. And then look at that and say, okay, what are the top five that I've got to make sure that I get? And in his opinion, if you get the top five, you're probably going to accomplish the other ones as well. So when I think about that, Greg, I think about our boulders. I think about what's in our roadmap for retirement. You've kind of done that at Golden Reserve, haven't you?
We have. And, you know, the boulders, let me take a stab at Warren real quick.
Okay.
He kind of is turning into kind of the babbling grandpa in some ways. I love Warren Buffett, right? I love Warren Buffett. He's obviously one of the most successful financiers of all time. I think he's got great stuff. I agree with a lot of what he says. But 25 financial goals? There's zero chance anyone will be able to come up with five, let alone 25 when it comes to old Warren. Now, his theory's right, because what he's saying is focus on what matters. Mm-hmm. And I think what we do is we do this for you. So instead of spending a day trying to come up with 25 different financial goals by Googling around the things that you should have goals about, I think the more effective way is for people that have less than $3 million, which is basically everybody.
Yeah.
And when you're trying to kind of break down what should I be thinking about in retirement or getting close to retirement, or, you know, I've been in retirement for a few years, I want to make sure I'm on the right path, it's what can hurt you. So it's not necessarily your goals. You know, your goals are probably to, you know what you want to do. You want to go out to eat a couple nights a week. You want to go to Florida for a few months a year, or Arizona. You want to golf. You want to spoil the grandkids, maybe do some family vacations. That part isn't that hard. The hard part is ensuring that you have the right tools to ensure that you don't get disrupted during your retirement years. Okay. And we've broke down and identified the four things that can essentially ruin your retirement. Fees, overpaying your financial advisors, or overpaying for your investments, or both. Obviously, then you have taxes. We talked about that in the first segment. Are you going to overpay your IRA taxes? Are you not? Do you have a plan on how to get that money out? Everybody tells you how to put it in. Nobody tells you how to take it out. Market risk. Do you have too much? Very few people are like, you have too little risk. If people have very little risk, it's because that's the way they want it. Mm-hmm. Most people have an extraordinary amount of too much risk because their plans never adjusted when they got to retirement. They have obviously are in a fixed income. They don't have a paycheck anymore. Yet their risk profile looks like it did in their 30s and 40s, which is a problem because you don't have 40 years to make it back or 30 years to kind of bounce back a lot of times. You know, you're in the spend it years. Every dollar counts. So the market obviously is number three. And then the fourth is long-term care that obviously Tim Stallings and all of us talked about. And a lot of people kind of cringe at times, but you got to do something. Mm-hmm. Everybody, you know, you don't plan for your house to burn down, Randy, but you have homeowners insurance.
Yeah.
You don't plan for a tree to fall in your house, but you have homeowners insurance. Randy,
that's me.
If you listen to the show, Randy's been basically displaced for a couple, almost, you know, over a year.
Four and a half months.
Four and a half months.
We finally got back in our house. Yeah.
I mean, it got so bad that he had to basically get cat leashes.
I did. I was walking my cat through a hotel.
Walking his cats from hotels. They were having, they were becoming depressed. His cats were becoming depressed. And they're on, you know.
It's not good.
You know, these are the issues that happen when you know. But Randy had homeowners insurance.
Yep.
So these are the things that we don't plan on happening, but they, you know, life has a funny way of popping up. So our roadmap is built to address those and force you to see, are there gaps in my plan? Am I in good shape? Are there things that I can prove? What's out there? What's the second opinion out there? I've been with the same person, you know, that I go to church with for the last 30 years. Is there something else out there? Is there more to my finances and retirement than just looking at a statement? And the answer, is yes, there is a lot more to retirement than just investment guessing. And I think that's what most people don't realize. And they, unfortunately, a lot of people get sucked into the, oh, they've done a great job. No, they haven't. America's done a great job. Mm-hmm. America has had a 40-year run of bull-like growth, which makes your financial advisor look really good. But what they do a terrible job doing is all the stuff that really matters, which is how to protect it from midterm and short-term catastrophes. And that's what our roadmap does. We build it to break it out. And, you know, to put a kind of a cherry on top of all this, it has an income tent, which basically shows you how much you spent last year, how much you obviously gained last year from Social Security or pensions. And then we project it out 25 years with a modest 5% gain. We have a little inflation. We have some travel fund. And we have obviously some health stuff in there baked in that can help us project. And then we show you what's left in 25 years. And a lot of times that number is pretty freaking big. So the idea is to spend more of your money, right? Like that's the whole idea of retirement, is to break the piggy bank and get in there and enjoy it. And people are so scared because the financial industry are a bunch of scumbags. Did I say scumbags?
Sorry. I believe you did. Yes.
I meant scumbags. Yes, I actually did mean that. And because they're so self-interested, if you spend your money, they take a pay cut, Randy. Mm-hmm. And when they take a pay cut, obviously when they're charging 1% or 1.5%, if they scare you enough, you won't touch your money. So they get to keep making the same amount of money on your money. But if you actually fight back and start spending your money and have an income tent, you can say, listen, I can do these five extra trips a year and I'll still have $882,000 in my account in 25 years. Yes, you could do that every year. And that's how much would be left. And they're like, oh my gosh, it's life-changing. It's our income tent, our retirement tent, all this stuff's included. We built it at no cost for people coming in because we want to help retirees see what's possible, right? Like they've been told all the limitations. They've been scared about cost of living, the cost of bacon, all these, the cost of eggs, the cost of milk, that don't matter. It just doesn't matter. It's like an extra $300 over the course of retirement. What really matters is that 1 or 1.5% fee that's getting taken out. Obviously, the roadmap addresses that too, showing you how much your financial advisor is taking out of your accounts that you probably don't know about, how much is coming out of the investments that you probably don't know about. All of these boulders are part of the roadmap because it is the ultimate guide to show people exactly what's going on in their house at that point in time. And then from there, they can decide what to do about it.
If you took that little Warren Buffett test and tried to put in order your financial goals or the things that you're concerned about, it would come out a little bit different. You would probably say, I'm scared of the market. You would say, I'm scared of losing money. You would say, I don't want to have to pay a big tax bill. I'm scared of a nursing home. See, these are the boulders that Golden Reserve has built, the things that you are most concerned about and the things that could hurt you the most in your retirement years. Let's have a plan for them. We call it our roadmap for retirement, and you can give us a call, and we'll put one together for you. Here's our website. Here's our number. GetYourRoadmap.com. Very simple. GetYourRoadmap.com. That brings you to our website. We'll ask you to fill in a little information there, and our team reaches out to you. Or you can reach out to us, 855-546-2074, 855-546-2074. And I can also mention, too, Greg has a book called Fire Your Financial Advisor, and you can find our website, fireyourfinancialadvisor.com. As a matter of fact, if you put the keyword radio in there, you get a 50% off coupon on the book, or if you book an appointment here and talk about your roadmap, we will give you a copy of the book as well. So, again, you can find it all, getyourroadmap.com or fireyourfinancialadvisor.com. So, Greg, you and I have had conversations about people who they live their life very frugally. They save their money. They get it ready for retirement. They don't spend. They didn't buy a car every 4 years. They bought a car every 10 years. They don't have a second house or a boat someplace and all these different things. They want to do those things in their retirement. They've made the sacrifices. Then they get to retirement and they can't bring themselves to spend. They are completely out of the habit. That's just not a part of their DNA. So you got a list here for me, four telltale signs you're being too cheap in retirement. Talk to me about it.
I know it hurts, right? Are you being cheap? If you're listening right now, there are four ways to identify this, and I'm going to rattle them off and then kind of go through them. One, you're very, very healthy. I'm going to explain to you what that means. Two, you don't have a spending plan. Three, you're adhering to some arbitrary thing like the 4% rule as if it's the only way to live and enjoy your retirement. And four, you're waiting way too long or maybe not touching your IRA, 401k, or Roth accounts. These are the ways that we can quickly identify. You're like, shoot, all four of those apply to me. Am I being cheap? The answer is probably yes. You're being too cheap with yourself, though. This is one of the things where you're not going out and you're not being cheap in terms of helping other people. You're being cheap in terms of your own life satisfaction. And, you know, when you're on your deathbed, ask yourself, do you want to stare at a bunch of zeros or do you want to reflect on a bunch of memories? Mm-hmm. And I think that is the way I can try to center folks into not being cheap. When you think about those four items, you're healthy. You know, most people don't realize when you're healthy, you're going to be doing the most. So if you're in your prime healthy years, you're in obviously your 60s, even in your 70s, and you're still very active, this is the time where you spend all your money. People don't realize the spending curve in retirement goes down the older you get, because once you get to retirement, a lot of times you do the things you want to do. You kind of go out and enjoy. You buy the car, you buy the RV, you buy the place in Florida. You go out or you start doing a couple traveling, and then it slows down. So you want to usually slows down in coordination with your health. So we want to make sure that if you're in your prime healthy years in retirement and you're not spending money, you should be asking yourself why. Two, you don't have a spending plan. Most people don't spend because they're just blindly relying on their financial advisor. That is a mistake, because your financial advisor has a conflict of interest with your retirement. If you spend your money, they take a pay cut. There's no argument. It's impossible to argue. If they're charging you 1%, which they probably are, or 1.5% or 1.25, whatever the case may be, Eddie, Merrill, Morgan, Ray, all of them, Fisher, they all charge the same way. They're charging you a percentage of the zeros in your account. And if you spend them, they take a pay cut. They probably haven't got around to getting you a spending plan. And that's why. And if you have something like the income tent that empowers you to say, listen, I can spend a lot more than I thought, because my money's not at risk and I don't have to worry about going backwards. This will give you an idea to then start spending. If you know you can spend X dollars a year, if I have $100,000 to spend, you'll spend it. And it'll be fun. You and your wife and your kids and your family will start having more fun with your retirement. You've worked your whole life. Break your piggy bank. You own it. That's number two. Number three, the 4% gospel. You can only spend 4% of, you know, you can only, you know, some people only spend their interest, or they only can spend 4% of their earnings or their investment. You can only do this. Well, first of all, how does that apply to everybody if everybody's account sizes are different? You know, everyone's life's different. Like, this is the most ridiculous thing made up by a financial advisor to ensure that you're too scared to spend any of your money, especially when you think about the amount of money you don't spend or leave on the table or that go on to the next generation. These type of, you know, calculators, income calculators, you know, financial advisor, you know, income calculators are all built to scare you and are uber conservative. When it comes to your life savings, you've got to retirement without someone babysitting you and saying, only spend 4%. No, you actually lived your whole life and got there and got all that money. You know how to budget. You know what feels like too much. And our income tent pushes you over that edge to empower you to spend more of your money. So if you don't have a, you know, obviously, if you're blindly following one of these percentages, ask yourself why and what your accounts are doing. They're probably growing, is my guess in a lot of circumstances. And the fourth is you're waiting to spend your largest asset, your IRA or 401k, where it's like, you know, I was going to go to Florida, but we're going to wait till 73 to break into our IRAs because that's what our financial advisor told us, because that's when obviously we have to. That makes zero sense. That is your largest financial asset. Make sure you crack into it using it, you know, obviously methodically. That's why we build a tax map for every client, showing you when and how much to take out of your IRA. So over the course of retirement, you can actually take it out piece by piece by piece, getting out the lowest tax matters and ensuring that you are, you know, most of it is a tax play, but there's also a huge component. It's a spending life play. You're getting to have more fun with your money. It's not just about taxes. It's about you. So again, obviously the big four ways that if you're really healthy, obviously you don't have a spending plan, you're adhering to something like the 4% rule, or you haven't touched your IRA or 401k, you're probably being a little too cheap in retirement. Go have some more fun. Hopefully, you know, talk to a financial advisor or a retirement planner that understands that you're supposed to actually enjoy your money in retirement versus just building a bunch of accounts so that they can get more fees, right, Randy? That's the key to retirement, is not building your financial advisor's retirement plan, but your own.
Good point. You know, you think about it right now, how much you squeeze into a three-day weekend, and you do all the planning and you get out the door by Friday afternoon, and then you're back on Sunday afternoon and you're exhausted at the end. And, you know, in retirement, you can have a four-day weekend, a five-day weekend, and just take it easy and go out there and enjoy. You know, we think about all the things that we do on a Saturday and how we spend money. Now you can sit there in retirement, do it on your own time, and enjoy it. If you want to redo a bathroom or build a deck or a pool, whatever you want to do in retirement, that's the time for it. We're going to spend some money. Let's have the money there. And to have an income tent, to know that the money is there, is so vitally important. Give us a call. Give us a look on our website. GetYourRoadMap.com is our website. Or give us a call at 855-546-2074. 855-546-2074. And all of this, of course, is in Greg's book, Fire Your Financial Advisor. We've got a website, FireYourFinancialAdvisor.com. We'll take a break. And when we come back, we will talk about one of the big questions in retirement. You've got 401k, and you've got maybe some rental income that you have coming in, and you got your savings. You got all these different places where the money is. Which ones do you pull from first? Coming up next on Expedition Retirement.
We often use the term climbing the mountain when talking about doing something difficult. Your 30-year work life is a lot like that. You get to the top, plant your flag, and retire. Now what? Did you know that 75% of deaths on Mount Everest happen on the way down? you need a new guide. Go to our website and you'll see that mountain. Meet one of our retirement planners and we'll show you how to get down Retirement Mountain. Find us at getyourroadmap.com.
Welcome back to Expedition Retirement with Greg Ehler at Golden Reserve. Online, you can find us at getyourroadmap.com. If you're listening to us on the radio, we appreciate that. If you're listening to us on the podcast, we appreciate that. But if you want video, we've got a YouTube channel as well under Expedition Retirement, and you can see our smiling faces doing exactly the same thing. All right, so Greg, one of the big questions in retirement is we use this term buckets of money, 401k, IRA, rental income, all the different places where we're going to pull money from. What do we go for first? You know, you've got Social Security. That's probably a bucket of money as well. Is there an order as to how we go about this when you talk about building that income tent?
You know, there's not a perfect order, but I like to think of it in terms of five major buckets, right? Five big buckets. We got cash, we have taxable accounts, we have Social Security, we have our pre-tax IRAs and 401ks, and then we have our Roth.
Okay.
Those are our five, and that's the rough order I would break it down to, and I'll explain to kind of how I got at this. You know, people are asking, where should I pull money out of? Well, cash is easy because obviously a lot of times it's not in permanent type investments that are compromised if you pull them out. Sometimes, you know, bonds are a little bit illiquid. Annuities can be illiquid based on how much you're taking out. So cash, you know, a lot of people rule of thumb 6 months. 6 months of expenses, maybe okay. 12 months of expenses. A lot of times I feel like people affiliate with a number more than a number of expenses. Either way, when you have those type of things, we always say grab there first. Obviously, that's what it's there for. And then you can kind of replenish it systematically over the course of the upcoming years. You know, that's an easy one. Taxable accounts, a lot of times these are your brokerage accounts, right? You know, you have some stocks or you have some money markets or whatever the case may be. You have, you know, something with Schwab or Fidelity, Vanguard with your financial advisor. These are a good secondary place to go. Now, there are some limitations, right? They could have some capital gains there because it's a taxable account, right? You know, your stocks could have went up, we hope. You know, you also have maybe some stocks you don't want to sell quite yet because you like them. You know, those are things that are considerations when you're deciding which ones to pull from, which ones not to. But don't forget about capital gains tax. It is out there. You know, the third one is Social Security. If you haven't turned it on, it may be time to turn it on, right? You know, sometimes you got to do the math. We love it when people are healthy and say, hey, we're going to wait a little bit longer. It allows our tax planning to be a little bit more effective, which is a great thing. But at the same time, you know, Social Security grows at 8% a clip every year. We want to push that out as far as possible while we're getting money out of your IRAs and 401ks with our tax map. But sometimes it's time to turn it on. And obviously that's a great, you know, income supplementer that, you know, can really make a big difference in retirement and covering a lot of the expenses. The fourth is the IRAs and 401ks and, you know, the pre-retiree tax accounts, accounts that you owe income tax on. Eventually these things are going to get taxed. I mean, we tell everybody, hey, I don't know if I want to take it out. I got to pay tax. It's like, these things are going to get taxed no matter what. It's just a question of when and how much. It's the biggest tax liability on your balance sheet in retirement. It's not close. It's probably the biggest liability in your retirement. And we have to get Uncle Sam back his money. So these are usually number four on my list. And then last but not least, you know, the Roths, as we talked about at the beginning of the show, the last one is the Access, because those are growing tax-free. And when it's going tax-free, that means no matter how big those accounts get, you're never going to pay capital gains tax on them. So a lot of times that's the last one. That's the one we want to give to the kids or grandkids if we can. Those are really fun ways to tap into that. So that's the last, everybody knows, that's kind of the last resort if we need liquid cash. So again, first cash, then your taxable accounts, then Social Security, then your pre-retiree IRA 401k accounts, and then fifth, obviously your Roth accounts is the order that we try to break that in, Randy.
And so if everything goes according to plan, we can follow that list. But I imagine that there's some people that come to you at maybe age 63 and say, I just got downsized and I don't know that I can go back to work. I was hoping that I could work till 65. And does that change the planning or the order of what you're talking about as far as accessing your money?
It absolutely can, right? There's no foolproof, here's the pecking order of where you take your money, other than Roths are usually always at the bottom unless you're out of all your money but Roth, mm-hmm. right? You know, so those are things, you know, cash and obviously Roth are usually one and five, and everything in the middle is a little bit of a jumble based on situation. Okay. But when people come in at 63, I think what we try to do is try to understand, why are you afraid? Explain to us where the fear is coming from, right? You want to sit with someone. You want to make sure that they understand, where is this fear? Is it real? Or is it, you know, something that they've just continued been told by the interweb or their financial mm-hmm. advisor? And a lot of times when we sit down, people are like, I have to go back to work, or you know, I don't know what I'm going to do. And we sit there and crunch the numbers and we're like, well, our income tent shows you that in 25 years, based on what you spent last year, you'll have roughly $682,000. And they're like, excuse me? Yes. Has anyone ever done the math for you? And a lot of people have never done the math. And that's what makes the roadmap so special, Randy, is I think you have to break down, you know, exactly what's going on and show them, you know, do the real work. When you do the real work for folks, I think they're always blown away and kind of like, I've never had a conversation like this before. We've always just talked about investments. We've never talked about retirement. And that's where our roadmap for retirement really came from, Randy. It's like, how do we break it down? I think if we have a couple minutes here, I'll just kind of break down the pieces. Like, right, there's four primary risks in retirement, right? Fees, taxes, market risk, long-term care. So when we look at the fees, this is something that we didn't talk about in the show today, but we normally do, which is a lot of times, you know, when the advisor's taking a 1% fee and you've got $1 million, I mean, it's $10,000 a year or you know, $300,000 over the course of a retirement. And then they charge you maybe some investment fees and variable annuities or some mutual funds, and then that's another 1%. So now you're paying $600,000 over the course of retirement. I mean, that can really add up. So we want to make sure people are thinking about that. Our fee filter breaks down how much you're paying each year to your advisor and how much you're paying for your investments. Obviously, the tax map we've talked a lot about today, our internal team at CPA will show you when and how much to take money out of your IRA. So if you're waiting to 73, you'll see how that is not your plan, that's Uncle Sam's plan, and how much money you could save if you have your own tax map plan in retirement. Then we have our market flashlight, which we didn't talk a lot about today, but shows you how much is at risk of your life savings in a market crash. It shows you not what percentage, but also what did your holdings do in 2022, in 2009, in 2000, to show you kind of what it could cost you. And people are like, I don't want to lose $418,000. Well, you better take a little less risk then, right? Mm-hmm. Like those are the things that happen in market downturns. And then the whole first half of the show, we talked a lot about the long-term care compass where, you know, obviously Tim Stallings came in and talked about the elder law and estate planning attorneys come in, sit down with us and show us the legal tools that can protect you from a nursing home crisis and obviously show you things like asset protection trusts and things that can actually make a huge difference in hedging some of these costs. All that rolled up is our roadmap, Randy, and then we do our income tent showing you exactly what would happen if you spent the same amount of money as you did last year, received the same amount in 25 years, factoring in some inflation, some healthcare costs, and other things to ensure that you can obviously make it through retirement and enjoy your life savings.
It's a pretty lengthy list, and if you're listening to this and you thought to yourself, I don't know how retirement's going to work, well, why don't you come in and take us up on the roadmap for retirement? We can show you exactly how retirement's going to work. You've worked and saved. You've put money away for that day called retirement, and it's going to last maybe 25, 30 years of no income. Well, it's not the income that your employer's been giving you. It's the income that you are going to generate. It's the way that Golden Reserve can help you save money in retirement as well. Give us a look on our website. Give us a call. Let's have the conversation. We'll build that roadmap for retirement for everybody who calls. Here's our website, getyourroadmap.com. Getyourroadmap.com. Or give us a call at 855-546-2074, 855-546-2074. We have a podcast. We have our radio show. You can go to YouTube, look up Expedition Retirement. There's a lot of different ways to start researching and finding out what retirement is going to be, what you're going to be up against, and we're here to help. Give us a look again at getyourroadmap.com. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to Expedition Retirement with Greg Ehler. To learn more about getting the help you need to and through retirement, go to getyourroadmap.com.
Investment advisory services offered only through investment advisory representatives at Golden Reserve Retirement, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Gregory Ehler does not provide investment advisory services nor insurance and annuity products. Exposure to ideas and financial vehicles discussed are not designed nor intended to be applicable to any person's individual circumstances. It should not be considered as investment advice, nor does it constitute a recommendation that anyone engage in or refrain from a particular course of action. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. Investments can fluctuate and when redeemed may be worth more or less than when originally invested. Financial professionals are not licensed in all 50 states. To find out if Golden Reserve is licensed in your state, please contact their office. Golden Reserve Retirement LLC, Golden Reserve LLC, Golden Reserve Tax LLC, and Ehler Stallings LLC are not affiliated with nor endorsed by the Social Security Administration or any other government agency. Legal services offered by Ehler Stallings LLC. Tax services offered through Golden Reserve Tax LLC. Annuity guarantees rely solely on the financial strength and claims paying ability of the issuing insurance company. By contacting us, you may be provided with information about insurance and annuity products offered through licensed professionals at Golden Reserve LLC. NPN number 1655411.